Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Second hour DDC here on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We're feeling frisky. We're feeling in a giving mood. Not only do we have one pair, we may have two pairs of Sting tickets to give away for next week at Ascend Amphitheater. Just saying. So be listening. You've got three more hours till we're out of here. Let's go to Robbie Stanley. He's half of Robbie and Rex Road. Mornings, 6 to 10. Leading up to our show, he now joins me, us, host Preds Insiders. Robbie, you've had 3 days to digest lots of fans' interaction and reaction. On your show, you've heard it on all the platforms on this station. What is your biggest takeaway from the last 3 full days of shows you guys have put on and you've heard on this station?
Well, I think my biggest takeaway is there's definitely frustration with the Predators fan base. Now, who that's directed to kind of differs from who you talk to. So there's the segment that think that both John Hines and David Poile need to be fired and you need to move in a different direction. There's a segment that's just totally out on Poile and wants that to be the move that the Predators make this offseason. And there's the Predators fan base that, you know, maybe is not out necessarily on either one of those guys, but is frustrated with being in the middle and being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs 4 consecutive years. So I think my big takeaway is there's been a lot of passion with Predators fans, which I love. There's been a lot of frustration for Predators fans this week, and who that's directed at has kind of been different, and that's what's been kind of fun to sort through on the text line and with phone calls coming in as well.
There's a lot of moving parts for sure. So which moving part would you like to weigh in on that you feel probably the strongest about? You've got a keen eye for the product. You've been covering this team for a long time. What's of all those moving parts that you laid out perfectly, which one do you have the strongest feeling towards and why?
Well, look, I think John Hines has done a good job. I know that, you know, nobody's going to confuse him for Scotty Bowman or anything like that, and I don't think that he's, you know, God's gift to coaching out there when it comes to the NHL. But I see a lot of people complaining about the roster and complaining about the lack of depth and complaining about the lack of talent, and then they're blaming that on John Hines too. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a John Hines thing. That's a David Poile thing. And look, has John Hines been perfect? No, but I think he's done a pretty good job based on the circumstances that he took over the job. I mean, let's think about this. Matt Duchene had a contract where he was wildly underperforming. Ryan Johansson wasn't very good the last couple of years in the regular season. You know, you can go up and down the list of guys, and those two specifically completely turned it around this year. Philip Forsberg had a career year. Roman Josi had a career year. Mikael Granlund was awesome this year. You know, if you're going to give Hines and you're going to get all over him from some of the other things, you have to give him credit for that. And I just see people kind of glossing over that, which I don't understand. The Poile conversation is really interesting to me. I mean, you guys tell me. I mean, I think David Poile is a really good general manager. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. He has won, I mean, he's won more games in this league than anybody else in the history of the league has. So there's something to be said for that. At the same time, he's been here for almost 25 years, and they've been past the second round of the playoffs one time. Tell me any other situation in professional sports where that happens. So I understand the frustration on that point from Predators fans, and those two things have been really interesting this week, but I feel like there's not really a lot of separation from some Preds fans when they're separating Hines and Poile, and I just don't understand that.
Yeah, look, the reason that people listen to our show, and I'll just speak for our show since you're coming on our show, is because we're going to try to tell it like it is and be fair about it and not be over the top and just to get your attention. But we're also going to keep it real and not to, you know, don't not try to be phony about things. Keep it real. but also keep it level and fair. I will say this is, you know, I am pro David Poile. You know, I appreciate all he's done on this show. Appreciate him joining us all the times that I've talked to him over the years. I am pro David Poile. I will also, in keeping it real, for all the people that are upset, I will say I'm not going to be phony about it because I understand what they're saying because I was not against – I was against moving on from Barry Trotz. I was against it. And people told me, well, it's just – it was time. Well, I'm like, well, if it was time to move on from Barry Trotz, has it just been, you know, same voice for, what was it, 15 years or whatever? Like, okay. Then I also understand where people are like, it's just time for a new voice. Like, I'm not going to be phony about that. Like, I didn't understand when people said it. I'm like, okay, fine. If you tell me that it was time, if you're telling me it was time for Barry Trotz, then how am I going to push back and tell you after almost 25 years, you know, it's not time? You know what I mean? Like, no, you can't say that. So I'm not going to be phony about it. I'm pro David Poile, but I'm also, on the same token, I understand what people are saying because I pushed back on Barry Trotz and said, I don't think he was given a fair shake. And people are like, hey, look, I get it. Barry's a great guy, but it was time. Okay, fine. If you're going to tell me it was time then okay. Then, you know, I have to sit here and be realistic and say, well, I would say 24 years has been a long time too. So that's my two cents on it.
I agree. And, you know, part of the conversation we're having is because David Poile and the Predators have raised the bar and they've raised the expectations.
I mean,
that's
what we're
just
talking about.
The stretch they went to, and, you know, in 2017, you go to the Cup final. Really, just the years around that, the expectation was to win, and not only get in the playoffs, the expectation was to compete for a Stanley Cup. Well, the Predators aren't there right now. They're not Stanley Cup contenders. And look, I agree that there's value in making the playoffs and being consistent. And I'm not trying to downplay that at all. I'm just saying the fan base, that's no longer good enough with the fan base. And that's why I think we're seeing a lot of frustration that we're seeing this week.
Robbie Stanley is with us. Yeah, Robbie, we had a great discussion about this morning on your show as well. It is, I just like that we're getting into the layers of it now and not just a bunch of noise. I like that we can talk about it from a lot of different angles here, because I think all of this that you're throwing out there is fair. I think something you guys hit on this morning that I think is important is the next step, right? If you're going to follow through with the plan, then the next step is how do you close that gap? I don't know if you can do it in one season, but can you be better next year? They've certainly set themselves up to where they have the cap space to do it. But it's going to take some smart moves, some diligent moves, maybe even take a little bit of risk in order to get to where you want to go. And there's certainly no guarantee, like we were saying before, Minnesota or St. Louis will be out in the first round, same as the Predators, even though those teams certainly tried to load up to get there. So it's not easy to win in the playoffs at all. But what do you see? I looked at some of the free agents that are out there. I see some names that I say, okay, that could help a lot. But I don't know that I see those and say, okay, that's the fit. That's going to get them where they want to go. It's not one guy. It's going to have to be a series of moves that close that gap.
I agree 1,000%. And, you know, part of this too, Willie, is, well, if you have Forsberg back in the fold, then that's a different, you know, that's a different part of it, right? Like if you get Forsberg back, you're not going probably overly crazy with the big name hunting at that point. Now, if Forsberg doesn't come back, if you're the Predators, like, do you go all in on Johnny Gaudreau? Do you make a push for him? I mean, I don't know what the answer to that. I don't know what their thought process would be if Forsberg doesn't come back. But if you're willing to pay Forsberg, my guess is you'd be willing to at least throw yourself in the mix for a guy like Johnny Gaudreau. So I'm interested to see what happens first and foremost with the Forsberg situation. The big thing to me, and I've been listening to you guys a lot the last few days and have loved the conversation. Willie, I think you did a really good job of kind of laying out that there is a plan that the Predators have in place. My big question and the problem that I have with it is I'm just not sure this plan is going to work, because we see this in sports a lot. Right now you've got, you know, your veteran core of Josi, Duchesne,
Forsberg, if he re-signs. Johansson's a part of it. Granlund's a part of it. Ekholm's a part of it. You can go down the list. And my concern is, can you bring your young players along quickly enough, and can they develop quickly enough to where they're ready to be contributors, and yet your core players are still good, and they're still playing at this level, and they're not on the back half of their career and aging out of it? That, to me, is the big concern, because if that happens, I don't think you have prospects at the moment that are elite enough to carry you. And I think you end up right back in the same spot you're in right now, which is in the middle, kind of searching for it all over again, because that's not where you want to be when you fast forward this process 3-4 years from now. So that's my concern with it, and that's what I think is so interesting about this offseason is, do they continue to try to, you know, save some cap space, keep going young, or do they use some of that cap space this offseason in addition to Forsberg to try to add to help win here and now?
Yeah, I think that's a very legitimate concern is, can you expect, and I think the answer is no, you cannot expect that Duchesne and Forsberg and Granlund and Johansson and Josi all have the same level of seasons next year. I think Josi, you could bank on a pretty good season, but 96 points, I don't know. Yeah. You know, it would anybody be stunned if one of those guys regresses or has an injury or something like that? No. So I think you have to be that much better in your complementary parts to at least make sure that you're as good or better next year. So these are challenges, these are legit questions for sure.
Well, and Willie, I'll add to that. I think, you know, everybody's talking about forward right now, which I totally understand. Like, they need to go get at least one, maybe two, top six forwards, even if Forsberg is back this offseason. So I get that. I still look at the defense, and you tell me. I mean, even coming down the stretch, I know they played against some really good teams, but even while UC Saros was in there, I mean, they gave up 8 to St. Louis, 6 to Tampa Bay, 5 to Minnesota, 5 to Calgary. The defense was not good coming down the stretch. So, like, are there defensemen out there that you could add to the top four with as well? Everybody's paying so much attention to forward, and I understand it, and I agree with it. But I have concerns defensively as well. Are they going to be able to defend better next year? Because I think that was a problem for them coming down the stretch.
Very legit. I definitely think they need a little more size back there. I guess I'm signing off. Okay, Robbie, good job. Thanks for coming on. Great discussion. We'll be listening again tomorrow morning, and we'll, I'm sure, have these chats throughout the offseason. Awkward pause.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
It's all good.
All right. Let's take it to the break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on the other side. Elliot Friedman, by the way, coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll get his outside perspective on this as we continue to kick this around, the Predators offseason. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Darren Donick and Chase with D-Mace after this.
Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. You're going to need the AC working this week for sure. Back here on the DDC. Temperatures, it's getting sticky out there. It is the middle of May, though. We'll have Sting tickets to give away. Maybe two pairs before we get out of here. Our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Greg, what's up?
Guys, thanks for taking my call. First, we've got to get to talk about the Preds, obviously. First and foremost, the team absolutely overachieved this season. Almost nobody had them making the playoffs. Most people had them finishing seventh in the Central Division, myself included. The question is, how much do you credit John Hines, and how much do you credit, you know, what he's implemented into this team, and how much credit do you give to UC Saros, who legit, you look at the analytics, legitimately stole 11 wins for them this season by his play. If he steals half of those games, they finish somewhere between Winnipeg and San Jose this season, so about what people would have expected. So was it John Hines' new image of the team, new identity of the team, or was it Saros? Probably a little bit of both, I would say. What you can't question from Hines is what his effect has been on some of the players, particularly Mikael Granlund. Granlund was a complete flop. It was hands down, stamp it down. Minnesota had won that trade when Peter Laviolette was the head coach of the Nashville Predators. Granlund now playing the most time out of any forward consistently, game in and game out, is a penalty killer, which he never did under Laviolette. He's completely reformed Mikael Granlund into a top guy. The frustrating part, though, about the fan base in particular, is if this team does not go on that miracle run in 2017, are these expectations so high when they go into the playoffs? This is four straight years now. I know they've made the playoffs eight straight years. It's four straight years of first round and out for this Nashville Predators team. Do you think this team is successful if they continue down this path? Let's look at the Minnesota Wild, for instance. The Minnesota Wild have made the playoffs nine out of the last 10 years. They've won two series since their 2003 Western Conference Finals run. Mm-hmm. Do you consider them a successful team for making the playoffs nine out of 10 years and never getting out of the first round hardly? That's the inquiry right now, is this team successful because they're just making the playoffs?
It's hard to push back, Greg, because when, you know, I'm picking the rounds, I'm picking the playoffs, I pick St. Louis. And I pick St. Louis because I'm like, it's Minnesota. This is what they do in the playoffs. And so that's an outsider. You can only imagine, you know, their fan base, what the reaction is. It's a really good point because Minnesota has been successful like the Predators, but getting into the playoffs, they really haven't had any success. They have not had the run to the Cup. They've had one conference final, but really they've had a bunch of early exits and disappointment in the playoffs. So I suspect their fan base is where a lot of the fan base is now.
Yeah, it is, and I think it's going to continue to be that way if this trend continues to go. Yes, the Nashville Predators have had in-season success, and I think people expect that. That's what happens when you've been at an organization this long, and I'm talking about David Poile, and you have, you know, regular season success. So people look at it each year and say, well, listen, they're going to get in the playoffs. More than likely, they're going to get in the playoffs. That's a given because they believe the team is good enough. But what really sticks with people and what is causing people now to say, hold up, wait a minute, something needs to change. They haven't had any playoff success. That means more to people. Once you've – okay, it's like this. If you haven't had any success and then all of a sudden you start having – some success. People are like, great, yes, we're all for it. But as that success continues, people are like, hold on, okay, yeah, we're having that regular season success, and I love it, but the ultimate goal is to get in the playoffs and have playoff success. And now people are starting to say, we want more. It's not just playoff success. It's not me. Regular season success, it's not just, oh, everybody counted us out and we found a way to get into the playoffs. We've had that success. We love it, but we want more. What are y'all going to do? What's going to change so we now can have playoff success? Because I tell you, these fans would rather finish in the middle of the pack, just make the playoffs, if they can have playoff success every year. If they barely make it to the playoff for the next 5 years, but out of that 5 years, they are in the Stanley Cup two of those 5 years, you won't hear nothing from the fans. Absolutely nothing. But you're not giving them that.
Mm-hmm. Greg made some great points, I thought, with his layout. I do think, for perspective, it is good to compare. And I know Darren mentioned there's a lot of fans. Look, I'm not worried about the other franchises, but to be fair, in the salary cap, you know, I love the comparison to Minnesota. That's a great comparison. Nashville has had, because those two teams came in at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. Relatively. Nashville came in, I think, a season or two before, but they were granted the franchises at the same spot when the league expanded. Columbus is a level below, right? Columbus hasn't made the playoffs hardly at all compared to Minnesota or Nashville. Nashville's made it more than Minnesota. And Nashville has more runs than Minnesota. So there's different levels of success. Like Buffalo is a great hockey town. Mm-hmm. They haven't made the playoffs in 11 years. 11 years. So there are certainly levels to sink to when you say, oh, say everybody makes the playoffs, or it's easy to make. Well, ask Buffalo if it's easy to make the playoffs. Okay, so I know it's not the ultimate goal, but there are other levels of success. But this is what's great. I love that the discussion has gotten to this point where you've got fans in a hockey market, mm-hmm, in Nashville, Tennessee, that are talking about why can't they win the title right? Let's talk hockey. Remember, Darren, back in the day, you remember nobody even, you know, they didn't know where to start this discussion. It was all about Nash, or it was about, you know, things that didn't have to do with the game. You know, this is what's great is you have fans that are now to this point where we can have this level of a conversation. And I love this conversation, by the way.
I do, too. I think one thing, and I'm going to try to get to some of these on the other side, is I really enjoy a lot of feedback from season ticket holders. And I'm not saying that other fans, you know, their opinions don't count. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying those are the people that you know are invested. They're truly invested. They're invested with their money and their time. They're there. They're in the building. We're getting a lot of opinions and reaction from people that are signing the text by saying, I am a season ticket holder. I appreciate that. I hope you keep putting that on there because, like I said, I'm not saying other people who aren't season ticket, your opinions don't matter. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I do want to hear from the people that are there because those people are invested. They're there, and they have the right to speak out on how they feel. It doesn't mean that we'll always agree, but they have the right because they're putting their hard-earned money and their time into the product on a Tuesday night or a Monday night or a Thursday night or a Wednesday, not the glorious Saturday, right, afternoon or Saturday night, so it's easy to do. They're there a lot, all the time. I don't know, you know, if it's a full package, half season, whatever the package is, you are at least invested in the team. So we do want to hear from you. I'm going to read some of those on the other side. We'll also get some more phone calls in. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
Okay, QC Kinetics, don't go through another summer with that awful joint pain that's been hindering you in your motion, your goals of getting out there and being active. You want to be active. And QC Kinetics can help you with that. That pain in your back or your knees or your shoulder, it can be treated now with the latest in precision medicine using natural biologics. These are growth factors that can restore and repair damaged tissue. It's exciting stuff, and there are no drugs involved. There's no steroids, no downtime, and the best part is no surgery. So if you've been told, hey, surgery might be your only option, well, there's another option out there. Check out QC Kinetics. You might have heard Emmett Smith talking about them. You might see other high-profile people talking about it. It's regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics that can help you get your life back. So take action now. Get a free consultation. Powerful, effective joint pain treatments with natural biologics are here in our listening area. So call this local number and get a hold of the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Hey, TD, have your people call our people. Let's get Billy's tire fixed, okay?
Yeah.
Call us, TD. Your people call us. I want to read this text. This is from Angie in Mount Juliet. Season ticket holder. I think you guys have said it all. The ability to carry out the plan is in question, though. Poyle seems to want to go for it, but then is almost like he is two steps behind or pulls the trigger too late. I fear this will be the case for Forsberg. He is the most winningest GM, but with no cup, not sure that is strong brag because he has not seen it to completion. It is like he wants to go for it, but second guesses, and we never get there. I respect him and appreciate him, but I think there have been systematic adjustments the team and coaching level, and rightfully so, but the last adjustment is the top of the house, and it all rises and falls on his leadership. He needs to go and give way to a fresh vision. If I were in charge, I would do this and own the outcome, good or bad. Angie, thank you. She signed that as a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
Again, season ticket holder invested time and their money. And we'll read your opinions. I mean,
okay.
This is for you. We'll do it.
You know what's
interesting?
There's
more to get to.
Greg, who brought up the example of the Wild, who I would say are in a similar category without the run to the Stanley Cup final, right?
Are you guys eating Hattie B's again?
No.
No, no. Why? What's that?
I just felt like Willie was like finished chewing some hot chicken before he said that.
Well, if you were to look on the Zoom, Darren, you would see that that's not true. Okay. I'm here.
I don't
looking
see
at
you guys on Zoom, so sorry.
But they Minnesota has one division title in their history, consistent 11 years in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And what did Greg say? You know, a couple of playoff round wins here and there. It's not very much. And they have tried to change coaches, the GMs. They've done a lot more changing of the guard
they have
than Nashville has. And Nashville, you have to say, I mean, there's no question, they are quite unique. And this is a market that's like that. You
yes.
look at Jeff Fisher. Mm-hmm. You look mm-hmm. at Floyd Reese. You look at
Gary Smith so far, Nashville SC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One coach.
This is not a market that just, you know, makes quick decisions and, mm-hmm. you know, you don't do well. It's not Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Or New York, right? You don't do well in 2 or 3 years, you're out. Get the next guy in there. So there's been a lot of patience shown. And so I'm just saying it's no guarantee just because you change it's going to get better necessarily. It might, but you could also do worse, as we're pointing out. That's why I bring up Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolina, who went, by the way, 9 years, looked like they were going to move, never made the playoffs. Now they got a pretty darn good team. They got a heck of an atmosphere going on in there.
But there are situations that, you know, that teams have changed coaches or GMs, and it's worked.
And it worked. No
yeah.
question.
So
no
fans
question.
Are, you know, I guess what you're saying is absolutely, you know, it's right, Willie. But I think fans now, because they're so passionate, and we love that. Because they care about hockey. Now they're like, nah, we ain't buying that. We're not buying that anymore. Mm-hmm. We're mm-hmm. not just going to sit and hope that, you know, after 20-something years, we finally get a cup. Fans, this is not, you know, Nashville of 15 years ago where they were just happy to have it and they were gung-ho and anything, any progress was great. It didn't matter if it was incremental or whatnot. It was great. Now, we should be happy that they feel this way, which
yes.
we are, but they're not just going to say, they're no longer just sitting on the side saying, you know what, we're going to hold on and we're just going to keep holding on in hopes that we win a cup. Nah, because they see other places changing and winning cups or you know, and you've gave it examples where it didn't happen, but
yeah.
they can give an example of where it did happen,
right.
and it was successful.
That's the beauty of sports. There's no set plan that is going to guarantee you
mm-hmm.
a championship. Here's more perspective. I was doing this. There have been 18, this is the 18th season of the salary cap era. Okay, so let's throw away the pre-salary cap era for the Predators, because A, the expansion rules made it very, very tough for them to even compete, let alone even make the playoffs. It took them 5 years to build anything. They made it once before the lockout. So let's look at the 18 seasons since there's been a cap. Because since the cap era has come in, mm-hmm. Nashville has been a player. They've been committed. They've made it 15 out of the 18 seasons to the playoffs.
It's been more balanced.
How many teams have won the Stanley Cup? How many franchises have won the Stanley Cup in those 18 seasons? There's
18.
Now 32 teams, so let's throw out Vegas and let's throw out Seattle.
Well, I would
Chicago
say
won three.
At
so
least 10.
L.A. won two, so there's five of the 18.
I would say at least
yep.
10.
The answer, by my count, is nine. There's nine franchises. So that leaves, throw out Vegas and Seattle. There's 21 teams that are in the same boat as the Predators. They haven't won a cup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so just in perspective, it's not like Nashville's the only team sitting around there going,
but
man,
we're
we
the
haven't
only,
won a cup.
But they're the only. But they only care about their team.
I know.
They don't care about anybody else.
I'm just
tell my son, listen, I don't care what everybody else's tears
else
are doing.
I know.
This is what I want
I'm
you to do.
Simply
and
giving
that's
you
exactly
perspective.
Why
I'm
I
giving
said
you
that.
Perspective of how mm-hmm. hard it is to win. We could do the same thing with
look,
the,
I
with
do
football.
That. I do. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't give a damn about the other markets. So I'm not going to sit here and be phony and throw out all these examples of other markets.
But it's relevant.
Because I say that.
It is relevant.
No, it's relevant. Yes.
But guess what? People only want to talk about this market and the team that they support. That's just what it is. Paul is up next on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Season ticket holder since 2015. full season tickets in the lower bowl. And so first off, Darren, thanks so much for making a safe place for us to air our grievances.
Let me just say this, Paul, because some people are upset. In our time. Like, I can't believe you said that. I support, I buy the merchandise, I watch every game, I listen to every Again, that was not a disparaging mark. I'm just saying I appreciate people signing up, telling us that they're season ticket holders. It just says, I'm in the building, you know?
I think it's awesome. We've got skin in the game, so yes. I think it's a different level. So here's a perspective that I'd like to share, and tell me what you guys think. There's a restaurant in California called the French Laundry. It's a set menu. It's $350 a person, and that does not include your booze.
Oh,
pretty easy for two people to spend $1,000 there. It's painful. As prices increase, so does expectations with dinner, with a car, with a house, with anything. There have been some things that has occurred pre Stanley Cup run and post Stanley Cup run that make the expectations rise. Everything Willie's saying is legitimate, but the reason that people are so frustrated, maybe one of them, and I can't speak for everyone, I'm going to speak for myself. Pre-Cup run, I could buy extra tickets to the playoffs. I only have two season tickets in the lower bowl, but I also have two kids. My kids could go. I had a half season prior to that. I was told, you can't do half season anymore, or we can't guarantee you to get playoff tickets. You have to do the full season to get the playoff tickets. There was some pressure that this was going to continue, that this was going to repeat, and you're going to miss out. You're not going to be a part of it unless you commit to the full season, you put your money behind it. That's what it's going to take. Oh, also, we're not going to let you get any extra playoff tickets. That's what occurred here. And they're not cheap. Two seats in the lower bowl where I sit are over $10,000 for a season. That's a fair amount of people. I don't care what you do. I have been blessed. We're pretty successful with our businesses. But that's a good chunk of your entertainment budget for a lot of folks. When things get that expensive, people's expectations go up. And when the team is going in the opposite direction of the expectation and what the price increases have been sold on, there is a new level of frustration. It doesn't become enough for it to be like, oh, it's fun. We made it. We got in there. When it's just like, hey, I feel like, you know, I was sold on, hey, this is a thing. This is what we're going to do. You come along for the ride. You're going to miss out unless you really push all your chips in. I think that's ramping up everyone's frustration. That's just my perspective.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to put you on hold and hook you up to some Sting tickets. How about that? For free.
Holy smokes. That'd be awesome.
Okay. I'll put it on hold. Elijah will get your info. I thought that was...
Maybe that
really
will take a little of the sting out of his frustration.
Ah,
okay. No, but look, he laid it out very well, very rational.
That was really well said.
The stakes raise. The more success you have, the hungrier you are for more success.
No. It's not just that. No, that's not what
and
Paul
maintain
saying,
success.
Hey,
and you're paying for it.
Everybody should be able to relate to what Paul just said.
Yes.
You tell me, because I'm sitting there listening to him going, okay, I've admitted on the show, we go out to eat a lot. And guess what? Going out to eat now is like, gosh, every time you get your bill, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, what is going on? Like, everything is really, really expensive. And now, the same time when you had your bill, you'd be like, okay, everything wasn't great. But like, whatever, okay, it's fine. But now you get your bill and you're like looking at it and going, you know what? The service was okay. The food was okay. And you're like, I don't think we're coming back here anytime soon because of the price of the – like, I think we're all doing that, right?
But it's
I could relate to what he was saying.
It's expectations. I said that like 15 minutes ago. It's the expectation now. No longer do – because you hear fan bases that have experienced a lot of success.
We don't care about
the regular season.
Your expectations go up too.
Exactly. Absolutely. But what I'm saying is that this – you hear fan bases that are used to winning. Mm-hmm. They say, we don't care. They're arguing back and forth with fan bases. And then that fan base that is used to winning, we don't care about the regular season because when we get in the playoffs, that's when we do our damage. Mm-hmm. Nashville Predator fans can't say that, and they're tired of it. Whether you are a season ticket holder or a person that can only afford to go to the games a few times a year, mm-hmm. they don't care. They're like, listen, I got skin in the game. I can't go because I can't afford it, but I still love my team to death. I still watch them every day. I still set aside time, to, you know, 2 hours to watch them. We watch Willie. We love Willie and C-Mace. We're invested too. But we're tired of just having in-season success. We want playoff success. Because ultimately, that's what you're judged by. How many championships do you win? If you can't say we won at least one, then teams like, I don't want to hear it. The Predators right now are Dan Marino. That's just who they are. Great during the regular season. Really good during the regular season. But you ain't got no chips, so you can't sit at this table. See ya. Mm-hmm. And fans are tired of it.
It's well said. All right, we'll come back. More phone calls, more reaction to close out hour number two. That's next. Did you know we're the official home of NASCAR? Vroom, vroom, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. They'll be at Kansas Speedway. Also, Chasing Checkers, Sunday morning, starting at 8 o'clock. NASCAR on 102.5 The Game is presented by Nashville Super Speedway and Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Can any of those speedways come change Willie's tire? He needs a new tire.
They'll do it fast.
They will do it fast. They can do it in a break.
Exactly.
That would be okay? All time.
Just could one of you, I mean, the Fairgrounds is not that far away. Can the Fairgrounds, somebody from the Fairgrounds Speedway come over and change Willie's tire?
It'll take them longer to get over here than it would.
What would you guys do?
And they're like 5 minutes away.
All of a sudden you heard, Willie looks out and he's like, oh, my tire's changed. Oh, my laundry, my tire's changed. Oh, boy. All right, I'm not going to get that. Oh, my laundry. There's a new tire, Mace, on the crossover. Oh, my laundry. Whew. All right, let's go to – I said I wouldn't do it. Zara. Zara, you're up next on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hey, so I was telling your phone screener, you know, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm down by the goal. And, you know, how – I get Preds fans want change. I get, you know, there is an expectation now, right? You know, our ticket prices are going up. I think the problem that I have is if you're a fan and you pay to go to these games, the last game of the playoffs at home maybe could have been the last time we saw Philip Forsberg in a Preds uniform, and fans are throwing their rally towels on the ice. You know, get your point across in a better way. Walking out in the middle of a game because you're upset, you still paid that money. Those guys are seeing you drive out of the arena in droves. And how can that feel good? So if you're a Preds fan that's asking for an overhaul, I'm asking for an overhaul in the attitudes in the arena. You know, if you're screaming, well, tear it down, burn it to the ground, start with us. Our attitudes, you know, those players are doing the best they can. No, we don't agree with everything that's going on, but do we blame the guys like that?
What do you hear around you? What is the fans talk? What's the talk around you?
Look, obviously, you know, even my own household is divided on Hines, on Poyle. I think everybody wants the guys to get better. But you can't deny that John Hines brought out greatness in guys like Matt Duchene, who was a subpar performer. You also can't deny that those lines get changed and nothing is consistent. I run a business. My guys and girls that work for me thrive on consistency. Those lines, the lines that were working, you'd come in the next game, and the lines would be changed. There's frustration in the fans, right? I get that. I do understand that. But walking out, throwing fits, that's not going to get our point across.
Okay. Zara, I'm going to put you on hold. If you want to go to Sting, you tell Elijah your info, and you can go enjoy that show next week. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Well, listen, here's the deal with that. Is that you see it at just about every fan base when their team is not having success or more success than what the team or the fan base believe they need to have. You're going to see this. This is how they, instead of not coming to the game, Do you want that? That the fans not come? This is how they show their disappointment. And some fans may think it's over the top, and some fans may think it's not enough. But they've been dealing with it for years. Eventually, when you've dealt with something for years and you've wanted change for years and years, and you spoke up for years and years, and there still hasn't been any change, you're gonna resort to doing something else. Let me show them how disappointed and you know, unhappy we are. So we're gonna throw our towels on the ice and let it be that and walk out. Again, some fans may hate it. Some fans may love it. But you can't get mad at them for doing that. I don't say they're not Nashville fans. They're not Predator fans anymore. I don't say that. I think they are Predator fans, but they're just fed up.
Let me weigh in on John Hines.
Throwing your towel on the ice is kind
of Yeah, I didn't like
slang.
That. I
mean,
like
but listen, again, whether you liked it, I liked it, Willie likes it, or our caller liked it, it doesn't matter what we think. It's what those fans that paid. Didn't we just say the fans that paid the tickets?
You got social media. You've got sports talk radio. You've got ways to express yourself.
Some people feel they want to express themselves at the moment. Listen, again, I'm not in agreement with it. That's like throwing something on a football field. I'm not in agreement with it. But there are a section of fans that do agree with throwing tiles at the end of the game, throwing tiles on the ice. It is what it is. You may not like what they're doing, but hey, they're showing that they are displeased. They felt we've said enough over the last couple of years. No one's listening because nothing's changed. So we want to show management this is how upset we are. As we're walking, we're going to throw our towel. They didn't throw bottle tops or bottles on the thing. They didn't throw anything that would hurt someone. They said, listen, this is how upset we are. We're going to throw our towels on the ice and walk out. You can't, whether we love it or not, that's the way they show how displeased they are. And again, I'm not saying that I like it, but I'm not going to sit there and yell at them and say, oh, they're not Predator fans anymore.
I don't know what that really does. I just really have pillows in the concourse and let people pillow fight. Like,
oh, we can do that.
Pillows. Pillows is a good idea.
What is throwing towels on the ice?
Gold like, pillows.
Look, you have a sales rep. If you're a season ticket, then talk to your sales rep and voice your – there's all kinds of outlets to voice your displeasure. But, I mean, if throwing a towel on the ice is sending a message, like I don't know what message that is.
They're hearing it. They saw it. Some people are upset about it. So it's showing. It's saying something.
I just say have pillow fights in the concourse.
Yeah, that too.
Adam, up in Portland, you're up next. Welcome in.
I mean, maybe I'm not – you may think I'm way out of left field with this, but just imagine the Vanderbilt Commodores getting shellacked by somebody that we knew was going to shellack them and the fans reacting crazy. You know, like, nobody thought we were going to win that series, did they? Like, if you bet money – then you should stop betting because that's not good. Nobody thought we were going to win that series. So what did the fans expect? They made it to the playoffs. They were streaky all year. They made it to the playoffs. I say job well done on getting to the playoffs with that team. Honestly, if you look at Winnipeg, man, how good was Winnipeg in 2018? Like the whiteout thing. It was either the Preds or
second
whiteout.
Best team in the league behind the Predators.
Right. They were fun, right? And now look at them. They're a disaster. And then you look at, like, the way Chicago reloaded, they kept a few of their players. So there's two different ways the Preds could go. They could go Chicago way or they could go Winnipeg way, but nobody cares about Winnipeg anymore, so I'm hoping they don't just completely dump everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Adam.
But there are a section of fans that don't, like you said, Darren, don't care about other organizations. I don't care what your organization did.
This
is what our organization needs to be doing.
I say it too, so that's why I brought it up. I'm on record with them. Mike and Dixon says throw golf balls. No, don't throw golf balls.
No, don't do that.
Now, he did say LOL, so he's just kidding. Exactly. Okay.
All right.
Don't need to be throwing golf balls.
Now, I think what I'm hearing, though, from a lot of the fans here, and I'm glad to hear this, is I think you can appreciate what John Hines is doing. Now, Zaro made it a point to say, look, they had to switch some lines up. There's a lot of people say, okay, what it was inconsistent on the second line. What would you have had him do? Right? They tried a lot of things.
He was like trying to figure it out.
Try something. So changes of the lines is going to be something that every team has to do. For the most part, he kept two of the four lines pretty consistent all year. Either Granlund or Johansson on the first line with Forsberg and Duchesne, and then the Hurd. Those were pretty consistent. The other ones were a shuffle, sometimes out of necessity, and sometimes just, look, we got to try something. But
hey, he was
very consistent
with the goalie.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think, in fairness, they overachieved the last 2 years with what he had to work with. So I think it's a lot bigger discussion that we're getting into is how did they get to this point and how do they get back to having a roster where you feel like your coach has the horses to go with. So, but if you're simply evaluating John Hines, I don't see how you can't say he hasn't done a great job the last couple years with what he's had to work with.
I think he's done a really good job, but, you know, the fans are who they are, and what they're wondering, Willie, is what's the plan?
Oh, boy. On that note, Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. We'll switch gears. We'll talk to Eric Hasseltine. The Grizzlies, a butt-whooping last night on the Warriors. We'll do that to start the third hour next.